I'm Josh Morton, athletic director at Augustana University in beautiful Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and you're listening to the 200-Foot Game College Hockey Podcast.
Let me ask you a question. Why do you want to play college hockey? The girl.
What is going on, ladies, pigeons, and bench warmers? Welcome back to the 200-Foot Game College Hockey Podcast, episode 107. I'm Andrew Marsh.
I'm Brendan Keller.
And I'm Marky Hager.
And we are back to discuss some college hockey. We have our second half headlines, top 16, guest Augustana Athletic Director Josh Morton. And at the end of the show, we have our series of the week. Boys, Mark is back. He's humming right now, but I can't see this lasting that long.
See what lasting that long? What?
Your win streak.
Oh, fair. Yeah.
What did you think I was talking about?
I had no idea. I was fucking
lost.
All
right.
There.
Okay.
Yeah, you never know.
I'm a fucking pigeon, is what I am in that department. So
you had too much faith in your boys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I go 1-1. I wasn't stupid enough to pick a sweep, but anyways. I'm back in the cellar, the basement. Although 17-11, we'll get there. But like, that's pretty good as a podcast for that being last place.
You know what?
Especially when a lot of our series of the weeks have been NCHC series. It's like, I mean, these could go fucking any way.
Well, spoiler alert, we have another one this week. So we'll dive into that at the end of the show. But boys, no news around the nation this week. Things are kind of dead. I mean, there's obviously things going on. Games that were played this weekend, but we're going to touch on some of those in the top 16. But we have a new segment this week. We're talking about some of the teams that might have a great second half. So we're coming up with our second half headlines. Each of us will get a team. Maybe we do this more next week, but for right now, we each have three teams and we're going to give a headline for what we think is going to happen in the second half. And Keller, you're up first with Quinnipiac. Spoiler alert, they're the new number one team in the nation.
Yes, and just to touch on that, moving forward, the headline saying we could do modify it a little bit. We do record these on Tuesdays usually. Could make it like a hot take Tuesday. I don't know, but anyways.
Ooh.
Yeah, but anyways, second half headlines, yes, we are going through that. We each have three, right? And my first one's Quinnipiac. The headline reads, Quinnipiac is the new number one and will not come out of that spot for the rest of the regular season. Here's why. Their schedule is really not that difficult the rest of the way. They have only conference games the rest of the way. They have Cornell twice and Harvard once, and the rest of it is the rest of the ECAC, who they have handled with ease this year. So the headline reads, Quinnipiac, the new number one, stays there the rest of the regular season.
I don't hate that at all. And it would be the first time that we actually see some consistency to the rankings. Mark, you're up next. You have North Dakota.
I want to toss this in here really quick. Quinnipiac played tonight, Tuesday. They beat Princeton 9-0. So
yeah, I saw that. That was
TJ Friedman, goal and an assist.
Oh, let's go. I love it. Hey, okay, so UND. I mean, yeah, they're coming at number 9 right now in the latest poll, everything. We'll get into that a little later, but I had to kind of drop that. But you could say it's been a little bit of an underwhelming year. They had lost to Penn State, the split to Quinnipiac, lost to Bemidji, just got swept by Cornell. I'm not saying, like, the year's completely fucked or anything, but, I mean, kind of a headline you could write. At least we got Jake.
Will they?
For now, I mean, hey. At least you got Jake Sanderson to fucking watch play hockey every night, because the guy just takes games over. You're going to watch him in the Olympics. And he's a bright star among, like, what, like I said, a slightly underwhelming season. Now, who knows? Could turn around, could get humming. But yeah, at least we got Jake.
All right, I have Boston College. In Boston College, we know they're not doing so hot this year. However, my headline for the second half is Eagles fly high in February. And let's look at their schedule real quick. They're playing Harvard, UMass Lowell, Northeastern. You're like, holy shit. There's no way they're winning those games. Then they have Connecticut. That's UConn. Northeastern again. And then BU at the end of February. If they want to make the tournament, they have to have a strong showing in the month of February leading up to the last game of the season, early March, and then into the conference tournament. They play UMass at the end of the year. I think that could be a massive series at the end of the year with conference complications in terms of seeding. We'll see how that goes, but this team wants to be successful. They have to take care of business in February. They're playing Notre Dame when this episode drops. So on Wednesday the 19th, that is when this episode is dropping. They are at Notre Dame. It's not their last non-conference game, but it is their last non-conference game against a different conference, if that makes any sense. They'll play Northeastern on Monday the 7th in February. That is technically a non-conference game according to the schedule. And then they have a to-be-determined non-conference game too. I didn't count that one, but that's also in February. But this is a huge game for them, which will take place the day that this is dropping. But when you look at February, that is where they're going to have to shine if they want to make some noise heading into conference tournament play and if they want to make the national tournament.
Okay, my second team, Mark's Boys, Western Michigan. And I say Mark's Boys, but I said this last week. I'm losing faith in my Omaha, and I'm slowly moving towards these Broncos here. I know it's not allowed. It is not allowed, so I'm not going to do it. But my headline reads, Broncos survive second half bloodbath, win Penrose Cup. These boys are currently tied for third with 18 points in the NCHC behind Denver with 21 and North Dakota with 24. I think North Dakota is not going to sustain this. As we know, they will be losing Jake Sanderson to the Olympics. And so then it turns into a three-team race, in my opinion, between Denver, Duluth, and Western Michigan for the Penrose Cup. I like Western Michigan the most of these three teams. Here's the kicker, though. I said second half bloodbath. We know the NCHC is the bloodbath, and that's exactly what they've got coming up here. North Dakota, Duluth, St. Cloud, Denver, North Dakota, Miami is how they finish their season.
Yeah.
On the bright side, if they survive the first five, if the Penrose Cup is in play when they get to that final weekend, they have Miami. They don't have one of these teams, but the problem is going to be getting there. I think they'll get there. So I'm going with Broncos survive second half bloodbath, win Penrose Cup.
Mark, next you have the Gophers, the Golden Gophers of Minnesota.
Let's see if this works here. Fuck, that's got to stop, damn it.
I was actually just going to maybe insert that song on the podcast, but that sounded so bad. I'm 100%.
Did it really sound horrible?
Absolutely. I'm keeping it in.
Damn it. I figured I'd give it a shot. I haven't used that thing in a long time. But yeah, hit the road, Jack. Done deal. There's your fucking headline. Not a good start for the Minnesota Golden Gophers without Jack LaFontaine. Splitting with Alaska, it's not what you want. Outshot Alaska 38-15 and lost 3-2 on Saturday. Alaska's now won 6 hockey games, for those who did not know. And losing Jack is just is about as big of a blow as you can take for this Golden Gophers team. And they had high hopes, I'm sure, as this season was progressing, as they were doing some good things. But, I mean, without him back in the cage, things are looking a little different for the Gophers. But this Justin Close kid is rocking a 902, 2.04. Only played 4 games so far, so there's some room to grow. But yeah, that headline's it's not great.
Well, neither was that game for Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, both goals were B-ways, so you got to cut him some slack. But.
Buddy, here's your first 3 shots. Yeah, Tuber on the breakaway.
Tuber breakaway, yeah. Just absolute rips, glove side.
Welcome to the league.
Yeah.
The 3-letter league, the towel league.
Did that sound that bad, really?
No, it wasn't terrible. It was just...
I definitely could make out what it was.
We could hear what it was. It was just mildly horrible.
Okay, fair. I'll take mildly horrible.
It was entertaining.
That's what I was going for.
Yeah. All right, I'm up next. I have Denver. Keller, you just mentioned them. They're on a heater right now. I have the Pioneers wagon in the West. That sentence doesn't really make sense, but Pioneers wagons, weren't they like, they were rolling around in wagons back in the day? So They are a wagon right now, in my opinion, in the NCHC, the way that they've been playing. This team so far this year, completely different than what we saw last season. And we saw some life at the end of the year for them. But, I mean, right now, they've only lost one game in their last 12 games. Their last 12 games, they've lost one time. They have one tie, and that was against Alaska. Look at Alaska, man. They're playing these teams pretty hard, I guess. But that one loss came to Minnesota Duluth on the road. That was back in December, December 11th. That was the last time this team's lost. Obviously, there was a huge gap between games from December to January, but they have Colorado College, Miami. Then they end the year with St. Cloud, Duluth, Western Michigan, Omaha, and then at the end of the year, Colorado College. So looking at their schedule, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Western Michigan in a sense in February. They got a tough schedule in February. But those last two, I think Omaha is probably going to be out of the mix by then. I think Denver can easily take two games there. I think they'll easily take Colorado College. You never know, though. I mean, that's a rivalry game, so maybe they split. But if they can just get past St. Cloud, Minnesota Duluth, Western Michigan, maybe get a split each series, maybe take two of one of them, especially maybe St. Cloud. You never know. That's right around that time when some of those players will have to report to China. So we'll see how it goes. I think they're a wagon, though. We'll see how things play out and see if I'm right. Shout out Jack Caruso and the gang.
Saddle up. It's time for the Broncos, bud.
Other headline I had for Minnesota was Jack LaFontaine. Just had to throw that out there.
Was Jack LaFontaine?
LaFontaine.
Oh, that's a good one.
Jack LaFontaine, because they're in pain.
Mark, you should work for a newspaper.
Well, then he's got to actually write the article. That's the tough
that's
part.
Not that's not happening. Fucking numbers. I'm not a letters guy.
All right, Keller, this one is strictly for you. You have Notre Dame, your favorite college.
Yeah, but I'm actually going to tire pump him here. Why wouldn't you? I'm the number 12 team in the country here. Here is my headline. Big save Jesus. you know what? Actually, I play that off of Touchdown Jesus with the football program. That was a, you know, big saying there. Big save Jesus, though. And the reason why I say that is their goaltending tandem of Matthew Galida and Ryan Bischel are going to lead this team to the tournament. Number 12 team in the tournament. They don't have a too terribly tough schedule the rest of the way. I mean, Mark Spartans are mixed in there. Minnesota, as we know, going to be down some guys. They actually got BC tonight as you're listening to this, but that's their last non-conference game. Penn State, and then they end the season with Michigan. So that was out of order, but that's their opponents the rest of the way. But yeah, I'm going big save Jesus. This goaltending tandem, and it is a 50-50 split, is going to lead them to the national tournament.
All right, Mark, you have Cornell.
Headline reads, well rested. Coming off of last year, not playing a game the whole year, they're having a pretty good one so far. Only three losses on the year, with the exception of a shootout loss to Clarkson. They had one earlier with Harvard and fortunately got swept by ASU at the beginning of January, but then came back with a sweep of their own to North Dakota. Going to be a pretty interesting couple games on tap for the second half for them. They got Quinnipiac twice, as well as Harvard again. So interested to see what they do against QU, but when the boys got a whole year off, I don't know, maybe they're itching to get back, and they come out humming. So, well rested.
All right. Last one of the pod. I have Ohio State. My headline reads, brick by brick, more like Lego by Lego. Jakob Dobisch with the Lego pads. Mark had no idea he had those, even though
so
he was
sick.
A guest on our show.
I had no clue.
And Mark is a huge Lego. Actually, I don't know if you're a Lego guy, but
I'm building one currently. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. There we go. That checks out.
You're about to chirp his childhood. He's like, buddy, I still do it. What do you mean?
It's sitting on the bar right now. I'm literally building a Lego as like now.
Mark is a puzzle guy. He's a Lego guy. He's a Funko Pop guy. And
I'm
he's
an everything
a Pokemon
guy.
Card guy.
If it's nerdy, I'm there. It's pretty much where I'm at.
Yeah. So Jakub
Ladies,
Dobis,
calm down. He has a girlfriend.
Yeah, relax. Fuck. You're breaking the door down.
Jesus, Mark. Save some for the rest of us.
Yeah, I'll try.
I'm talking about the Funko Pops. It seems like you have a ton of them.
Oh, I do.
So Jakub Dobis from Ohio State, he is 15-6-1, 212 goals against average and a 929 save percentage. By the way, this kid's a freshman. How are you? He's doing pretty damn good this season for Ohio State. And Ohio State, they're making their way up into the poll. They are now 15. They were kind of on the outskirts heading into the second half. But here they are. They make their way into the top 16. Last week they were 16. This week they are 15. Again, I feel like we're spoiling the entire top 16. We're about to get into that. But yeah, brick by brick. No, Lego by Lego. This guy's been unreal all season long.
Let's go. I love it. Big Save Jesus wins, though.
Big Save Jesus was pretty good. Mark, you should have went with Jack LaFontaine. I kind of like that.
You like that? Yeah, that was my
I wonder why you like that. It's a dad joke.
I wanted to do the audio, though, but it didn't fucking work. So.
I forgot. Yeah, that was definitely the best part of the whole segment.
Yeah, that was the whole reason why I did it, so to get that going, and it just didn't work at all.
The best part, because it was a fucking gong show.
Yeah, it was terrible. That's what I'm here for, though.
There's a pizza right up to the center of the ice.
It's so suey.
Shout out Tristan Jari.
Ah, good.
I'm not going to chirp the Pens. I had them.
He is final nasty leg, this year. I thought he stunk.
I am not chirping the Pens. Final leg of a 14 parlay that went 350 last night. They go down 3-0 after one at Vegas, and they win 5-3. I'm all in.
That's actually big.
That's huge.
Holy moly. Is that why you couldn't record last night? Because you were dialed in?
No. Friend of the show, Nick Berger, turned 21 last night.
Ah, that's right.
So I went to the casino with him out of feeling bad.
I Venmo'd him $15 and stayed home.
What did the Venmo read? Did it say?
Hold on, I wanna guess. It's gotta be so simple.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Don't think too hard at all.
I have a couple on me, boss.
That's what I texted him.
Was it enjoy your first beer?
No, it was cheers with the fucking handshake thing.
Ah, that's so lame.
Yep.
Anyways, let's get into our top 16. We have a new number one. We already spoiled it. Let's dive into it right now with our top 16.
The nation's best lives here. It's the 200-foot game, top 16.
Keller, I just said it. New number one. What do we have?
We have Quinnipiac. We touched on that already. Why are they the new number one? Well, the fucking Cats got it done this past weekend. By the way, before we get any further into this, Mikey Colella, maybe the worst Instagram takeover you've ever seen. Guy was scheduled to take over the CCHA Instagram account. No show. Didn't no show, but... he no-showed in my book. But hey, all day I see Friday. It was Friday, wasn't it? Yeah, because they had a game. You know, it's going to be a game day takeover. You know, it's show the fans what it's all about up there in Marquette. I'm checking like every few hours, just no Instagram stories. No Instagram stories. No Instagram stories. Finally, I get 8 beers in me at the bowling alley. I'm like, buddy, this is the worst takeover I've ever seen. But of course, it was after they took down the Mavericks, Minnesota State at home. So I guess he gets a, does he really get a pass? I don't know. But
didn't the CCHA's Instagram, like their first story?
Their only story was Michigan Tech's stall.
Yeah, is it?
Which is literally their rival.
It was so funny.
Oh, man. Yeah,
I sent that in and I was like, out of way, Mikey.
He showed up, though. He had an apple that night.
Oh, yeah, he did.
4-2 with an empty. They got the W, so that's why Minnesota State falls to 2. Minnesota State was able to take care of business the next night. But Michigan at 3, Western Michigan at 4, Denver at 5. Michigan and Western Michigan flip-flopped there. Denver up from 5-6. They swapped with St. Cloud, so not a ton of movement. We had Duluth, Cornell, North Dakota, and UMass Lowell. Lowell is in the top 10 100% for the first time this year. Marsh, you kind of pumped their tires last year a little bit, no? Or
I
last
did.
Last week.
Was it last week? I think UMass Lowell might have started out in the top 10 at the beginning of the year. Maybe that was last year. I can't remember. They kind of just been a low-key, sneaky team. They haven't really made any noise to where you'd be like, holy shit, UMass Lowell is like, they're fucking on fire right now. But they're 13-3-3, and they're doing work right now. And in the top 16, they're the best team coming out of Hockey East. So we got to give them some love. Yeah, so good for them. I like UMass Lowell, and that's Mark's favorite jersey, too.
So class.
I will say, I don't know how much they've been tested this year. I mean, Arizona State, Michigan State, BU stinks, LIU. Okay, Northeastern 2-1 victory. BC, they took care of them. Split with UConn. They've swept Maine and Vermont this year, and they tied and lost to UMass. So it's like, I need to see more. I don't know if we can label this team top 10, but luckily for us,
you're not going to see much more than you already seen.
Yeah,
you've
you seen got Northeastern, UMass, BC, Northeastern twice. They got Providence twice. UNH is kind of frisky. They take down some teams. They probably won't make the tournament by any means, but you know, they've taken down Clarkson, BC, but then they, you know, turn around, they get swept by BU. They did beat UMass this year, so they're a frisky team. That's who they end their season with. But yeah, Lowell at 10, I need to see more from them. I'm not writing them off as a team. I just need to see more. It's just kind of where I'm at. Any thoughts on these top 10?
No. I mean, we kind of mentioned it already with our headlines. A lot of these teams that are in there, we kind of touched on them other than St. Cloud and Duluth, but for the most part, and Michigan. But you know, for the most part, same old, same old. I mean, Cornell's in there, but they were at 9 last week. So
no huge jumps. It's all good.
No, and then at 11, you got Minnesota, Northeastern at 12, Notre Dame at 13, UMass 14, Ohio State 15, Omaha at 16, Michigan Tech 17, Providence 18, our boys, Northern Michigan 19, and Harvard at 20. I think looking at this group, one team that we for sure think is going to change in the second half is Minnesota.
Yep.
Yeah, I feel bad for them, man. Like, they had a good team coming in. They had the right pieces in place, and like, just shit's not going their way, man.
They were going to lean on Jack, and his way she goes.
I mean, as a North Dakota alum, I think it's fucking hilarious. But yeah, I mean, doing this podcast, obviously, you try to be unbiased. So it's good to have them in the tournament. Makes college hockey better. Dude, I don't think they're going to make it. I think they're going to slip out.
Yeah, I would probably bet that too. It's going to be a slow process though, because they have respect. Okay, they have the respect factor. I mean, it's the University of Minnesota, so it's like they're not going to just plummet. But by the end of the season, after the conference tournament wraps up, I think they will miss. They'll be on the bubble. They're not going to just disappear.
No, I agree. And like I said last week with North Dakota, if Minnesota can get hot at the right time, even if they drop some games while some of their players are gone for an extended period of time, they can get hot at the right time and they sneak into the playoffs as one of those lower teams. They could give one of those teams in the top four or top eight, I guess, depending on where they would sit in the rankings. They can give them a run for their money and maybe upset one of them in the first round of the tournament.
One team to look out for the next few weeks, my guys, the Omaha Mavericks. They have Duluth this weekend, but after that, they got Colorado College off for weekend and then Miami. So if they can take care of business against the two lesser teams in their conference and then maybe get a split out of Duluth, they could definitely be jumping up these rankings. So
I mentioned them last week. I'm still really excited to see how Ohio State finishes out this year. I still think they're a top contender to win the Big Ten. So
something to note here, CCHA matchup, big weekend, home and home, Michigan Tech, Northern Michigan. So, got to have our eyes on that one.
Big
that
one is, for the kid.
Yeah. So, we'll see how that goes.
Northern Michigan, only non-ranked team that jumped in the top 20. That's big. That's a team that I want to see in the fucking tournament.
Clarkson's making their way back. Just going to throw that up there. They're the second most receiving votes, and they're receiving a shitload. Them and Bemidji both have 42 votes that they're receiving. Clarkson just slowly but surely, I guess. I mean, they were kind of in the bottom half, but they're hanging around is my point. So,
and another team right next to them, AIC, they were down in the standings in Atlantic Hockey. They made their way back up to the top. They have a 4-point gap between Canisius, and Canisius has played two more games than them too. So American International in first place in Atlantic Hockey, and they sit with an 11-9-1 overall record. So that stinks for the other teams in that conference that weren't really able to gain any ground on them, because American International was losing some games there for a while, but now it looks like they're back. That's another tough team that you probably don't want to play in the tournament, because we've seen before Atlantic Hockey, they can upset you in that first round. So, and if Quinnipiac is the number one team, don't be surprised if Quinnipiac got upset. They're a good ass team, but you never know.
Yeah.
No shot. Zero shot.
Okay.
That's where I'm at. Check the headlines.
The headlines are checked. You said regular season, boss.
Regular season.
That's where we're at right now, so.
It's fair. All right. Well, that is our top 16. Why don't we go ahead and talk to the AD of Augustana, Josh Morton. We caught up with him, getting a little feel of what to expect from Augustana. People might not know, but Augustana will be a new team in 2023 at the D1 NCAA level. And we're excited to see what this program can bring to the table. And like I said, we caught up with Josh Morton to find out what is going on within that program right now. So we hope all of you enjoy it. Here's the AD of Augustana, Josh Morton. Now we want to welcome onto the show Augustana University AD Josh Morton. Josh, we appreciate you joining us. How are things going up in Sioux Falls?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Yeah, it's been pretty exciting times here since about last April when hockey really came online. And it's been a pretty exciting journey so far. And we're creeping toward the fall of 2023.
Yeah. And like you just said, you know, you're getting things going in the fall of 2023. What were those initial conversations like that ultimately led to this decision to bring college hockey to South Dakota?
I go back to probably my first week on the job, and I've been here now almost coming up on 4 years in May. And our president, President Herseth Sandlin, she asked me what I thought of adding men's hockey. And I said, well, I think it's a great sport. People love it. Our community love it, but it's really expensive. So, fast forward 3 years and we're able to put some ideas in front of, you know, one of our great philanthropists in our region, T. Denny Sanford, and his eyes lit up at adding a men's hockey program. So from there, got others involved at a very high level and just had great success within our community. On the fundraising side, kept it quiet, knowing it would leak out, but we weren't prepared to talk too publicly about it, but we knew what was going on. And then finally in October, able to break ground, ceremonial groundbreaking for Midco Arena on our campus was awesome. So you're able to talk about it and share our story with so many, but yeah, it feels like 3 weeks ago and feels like 6 years ago, but it's been quite a deal since we found out.
Yeah. And you said pretty early on when you started on, you started in 2018, one of the cornerstones of the department was to be active and engaging with the community. You kind of touched on it a little bit there. Specific to the hockey program, what's kind of been the reception around town? And ultimately, do you think you could get kind of like I always like to compare, we've talked about it on our podcast a little bit. Obviously, North Dakota has tons of history, but it's kind of, you know, one of those things that can become their own thing. You know, you can become known for South Dakota, Augustana. They can kind of become known for their hockey team.
Yeah. And that's, you know, part of the appeal. I think on our campus, we're always looking at ways to strategically grow, and it's just a differentiator for us. You know, we're the first college hockey program in our state. The first that will compete at the highest level that calls Sioux Falls home. So that's appealing for a lot of people, but it really, for us, that really set our strategy. So, the community excitement, we couldn't do this if we were not in Sioux Falls, to be honest, because this community is dynamic. And a lot of people may not know much about Sioux Falls, but we're growing. We're about 270,000 in the metro area, growing by 5,000 people a year. Our economy is strong, you know, financial services and healthcare being our real pillars of our economy. And it's just, you know, I've been fortunate to live in a lot of places, and Sioux Falls just has a different feel. It's always looking to grow. And so this fit right in. And then you take in the fact that of those 5,000 people that are moving into town, many are from outside of this region. Many love the sport of hockey. And so to be their hometown team means a lot to us. So yeah, I'd say two ways to look at it. Number one, financially, the support of our business community and business leaders has been terrific. We still got a lot of work to do, but we know it's there. And then just the, you know, building a program fan base from scratch. We'll combine both our current fans that are fans of all of our teams right now, who will jump on to hockey as well. But then just those new fans that that will have something to cheer for on a Friday and Saturday night.
There's been a demand, I would say, in that area for a while with the United States Hockey League, the USHL. They have a team in Sioux Falls as well. I got to imagine it's going to be a pretty easy transition. Clearly, there's hockey fans there.
Yeah, and they've done really well. The Stampede have really set the bar for attendance in the USHL. So they have a lot of history behind them. And so we feel like it'll just kind of raise the hockey community together. Our youth hockey program has grown considerably since the Shields Iceplex was built in 2014. So again, we're just adding a different element. I think there's enough of a fan base, and you know, we're building our arena to be about 3,200 seats, 3,200. We feel like it's the right size. It's going to be a great game night atmosphere. It's going to be a really tough ticket to get, which we're excited about because the demand will be there. But we feel like having a USHL team in our town is so beneficial on a lot of levels. I mean, think about recruiting. I mean, for a new head coach to come in knowing that all the USHL teams come through here, it's a big deal.
Do you think there'll be an easy transition with all those players that are in the USHL when they're looking at schools to go to, if they feel comfortable being in Sioux Falls, that maybe, hey, I'll look right down the road at Augustana and maybe I can go play there in that beautiful Midco arena?
Yeah, that's what we think. I mean, we certainly hope so. And I think the number one, I think they'll USHL players will understand our community, right? Not that they come here and they spend an enormous amount of time, right? I mean, they go to the hotel, they go to the rink, they go to the hotel. But at the same time, if you've been there and you feel the energy both in the Denny Sanford Premier Center where they play and then to see our campus, I absolutely think it'll be a huge benefit to us.
Yeah, and when doing anything like this, you know, starting a program like this is obviously several steps. Kind of where does it stand right now, and kind of what are the next steps that you guys need to take as we sit here today?
Yeah, so really this academic year, we have three priorities. Number one, finalizing the design of Midco Arena so that we can truly be in the ground once winter is over, which we hope is soon. And then
maybe not up there.
No, hey, we're South Dakota. Don't forget.
That's true.
Yeah, we're the banana belt of the Dakotas. Finding a conference home and then hiring a head coach. So we'll officially post our head coach position here this month and hire a head coach, give them a year to recruit and to build a program.
Now, was there a university that you and your peers wanted to sort of model the program after? Of course, we mentioned North Dakota, it's a staple in that region, but was there a specific program in mind that you wanted to sort of be the building blocks to get this thing going?
I wouldn't say that. I think, unfortunate. I was both a student athlete at North Dakota. I played football and then I worked there as an associate athletic director. And then I worked at Michigan State as well. So I saw those two, you know, I saw when the WCHA blew up. So I was working in North Dakota at that time. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the start of the Big Ten working at Michigan State. So I wouldn't, and obviously Augustana is not either of those.
Right.
We're 2,100 students, right? I was working at 50,000 student enrollment and then about, you know, 12 to 13,000. So I'm not saying we're them, but I think what you learn is the hockey crowd is unique and they're rabid. They care so much about their team. And I think those are the kind of things that I learned. I don't know that we modeled it after, but I do think as a private school, you know, the numbers are really supportive of a small private school having success at the highest level of college hockey when you look across the country. And that's also very appealing for us because there are differences when you're at a small private as opposed to a large public. There's just some differences that come and some benefits, and that's what we hope to take advantage of too. But I think just being a private school sets us a little bit apart. Not necessarily, although we did go to Colorado College a couple weeks ago to see Ed Robeson Arena and see a game against Arizona State. So it was interesting because similar size institution. They're also in a metro area, you know, bigger than Sioux Falls, but still in a metro area. They're a small liberal arts school that's Division III multi-sport, but competes Division I. We're Division II, competing at Division I. So there were a lot of similarities there.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, being a private school, St. Thomas, they just started up a D1 program as well. A lot of different programs are starting up here in the coming years. How important is that just for the game of college hockey and growing that here in the States?
Well, that's what one of the things that we've been really excited about is the excitement that we felt from the college hockey community because, you know, it's a sport that needs to keep growing and it's always kind of hovered around 60, right? Sometimes dip below, sometimes over. And so we feel like we're part of the solution. We also are showing our commitment because I know there's a number of schools that have thought about it and it's been public or not public, but have thought about it and haven't been able to pull the trigger. And we're excited that we were because we feel like we can be a good addition. You know, you look at a map, right? I mean, people don't realize I can drive, I don't know if it's 20 minutes east and I'm in Minnesota. We're awfully close to what they call the state of hockey. And so I think it just makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. And of course, you know, players are kind of the staffing, if you will, if you want to refer to it as that, that kind of drive a program forward. We touched on recruiting a little bit. We touched on, you know, you guys are going to be posting your head coaching position. Do you think just location, you even said it there, you're not far from Minnesota. You got North Dakota is there as well. Your youth programs are growing big time. Do you think that's appealing for a head coach to come in and really have a lot of talent at their disposal, not too far from the university?
Yeah, I think it's similar to the conference question, right? It's about value. What value do you have? And on campus, brand new arena, an athletics department and campus that have shown excellence academically and athletically, committed to the program. We are in a dynamic community. So all those things, I think will be, we've been really impressed with the outreach so far from prospective head coaches and, once it's officially posted, it'll get even more attention. So yeah, we really feel like we'll be able to have a great head coach. Cause you know, if you think about it, there's only 62 opportunities, right? So if you want to be a head coach at the highest level, there's just not that many opportunities. And when you have one like us, which we think, with all those things I mentioned, I think it sets us apart.
Now, when you're looking at a head coach, what kind of brand of hockey are you expecting to see from this Viking squad when they finally take the ice in 2023?
Winning, right? I mean, it's like any sport, you know, I think we want someone to come in and build something. This person's setting the foundational culture. And yes, obviously we want to win. We need to win. We want to be competitively excellent. This is taking this job on is more than that, right? I mean, you're helping us build a fan base. You're truly setting the foundational culture for a program. All those things are so important for a startup. So we know that with the right person who has the right values and recruits that we will, the wins will come.
We're really excited for Augustana to get things going. Like I said before, there's a ton of different schools that are starting up programs and it's just great for the game of hockey and college hockey, of course. So we appreciate you joining us today and just talking about what's to come here in the upcoming year. And we're just, like I said, excited to see Augustana take the ice in 2023.
Yeah, me too. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it very much.
All right. We want to thank Josh Morton for joining the show. We're super excited about Augustana and what is to come within that program. Their barn looks unreal. And Midco is an absolute wagon up there in the Dakotas in terms of cable television. Trust me, I had it for 4 years. It's quite the network if you want to call it. It's a network, right? Yeah.
I don't know. You're the fucking media guy.
No, it's great. It's great. Midco is fantastic. I'll just leave it at that. But no, we appreciate him coming on the show. No Mark in that interview, as all of you know by now. Mark was actually out playing Pokemon Go. There was a huge rare species that was out in Potosi, and he had to go out there and try and find it. So
now,
keep in mind, that's a good what kind of track we looking at there, Mark, for a fucking Pokemon?
It's a good hour. It's a good hour. But now, see, that statement could have held true like 6 months ago when I was grinding Pokemon Go, but I'm no longer. 6 months
ago,
so.
Buddy, I was hoping it would be like 4 years ago.
No, it might be less than that, actually. But I got a pretty nasty account on Pokemon Go, I will say so myself. But I don't even remember what I was doing. But I was at dinner with the lady's parents. That's where I was.
Oh.
Yeah. But
you should have went with Pokemon Go.
Eh. Well, that's the way she goes.
I remember one time in college, I looked out my window one day, and there was just 10 kids in my front lawn.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And they're all just buried in their phone. Just buried in their phone. And I'm like, what is going on right now? Turns out there was, I don't know if I'm saying the lingo correctly, but there was like a very rare Pokemon that was at my house.
In that area.
Everyone.
It's called a nest.
Yeah, that was my house. So we had quite the amount of interesting people just in my front lawn. And what do you do? I'd be like, hey, what are you doing out here? Be like, we're catching Pokemon. I'd be like, okay.
I wish there was a security footage of this, because you would be probably one of the worst people to deal with this. You'd probably go into full panic attack mode, thinking something super serious is going on. I could just see you being like, dude, what are they doing in my front yard?
Well, I was like, what are these people doing? It like, are they, what are they doing? Like, I don't even know what came to my mind at that moment, because you just have no idea why 10 people would just be staring at their phone in your front lawn. And then I asked my buddy, he's like, dude, I think there's a Pokemon nest, I guess, in our front lawn. And I'm like, no way. So then it became like,
where is it?
Yeah, no, it was just on the side. It was on the side by the sidewalk.
No. I could just see you be like, where is it? I don't see it.
Oh yeah. No, I knew what it was, but Oh no. It then became, now I'm just going to people watch. I just want to see what kind of people are.
It's entertaining.
Walk by and just try and catch these invisible creatures.
No, I think we all know what kind of people are walking around there. They also LARP on the weekends for fun.
Which is funny, because if you went to University Park, you would find the LARPers there on the weekend, and they would have their little swords and stuff, and they'd be, you know, hitting each other, and they'd be LARPing. And we drive by and be like, hey, there's the LARPers right next to the tennis court.
Yeah, now it's honest hour. Mark, are you a LARPer?
Fuck no. No, I am not a LARPer. I'm level 36 in Pokemon Go, for those wondering. Means a lot of time has been put in. A lot of time.
I know we have our series of the week to get to, but I just have to bring this up because this is one of the funniest stories. I guess it was on video too. So let's break this down just for a second, because if the people listening right now, they might not know that you two have your own
St. Louis
Blues podcast that you do. And just give the listeners a little rundown of what happened on a certain episode that you guys were recording, because I saw a clip of it and it might have been the funniest thing I've ever seen.
We might have to just post it.
Yeah, I have the file, so it's fine. We can just post it. I'm down. We were ripping a chirp podcast. That's a St. Louis Blues podcast, me and Keller. And him and Sammy are the other guy on our pod. They're just going back and forth about Blues stuff. And I am just all in on a Pokemon Go raid at the same
absolutely
time.
Absolutely out to lunch.
Yeah, it literally locked in. I don't even know what's being discussed. For those wondering, it was my first legendary raid for a Zapdos. It was a big deal.
I don't think the college hockey market and the Pokemon Go market overlap. So you're really breaking it down.
Yeah,
for a lot of
people. I really
we need
am
a Venn
here.
Diagram for this.
Yeah, you might. It's a big deal. That's where we're at. Okay, my first is my favorite Pokemon too. I had a lot riding on it, and I could not have been more locked in and just They kicked it to me, and I was just like, boys, I'm sorry. I have no idea what's being discussed. I'm trying to catch Pokemon. This is where I'm at. And then I proceed to scream, and then I get it, and I sellied, and it was decent. That's about the breakdown that I'll give you. But if we want to post
the videos,
it,
way
post
better.
It. Yeah, video's unbelievable because I edit it, and it's funny. So,
what was this name?
Zapdos.
Zapdos.
I'm familiar.
Interesting. All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to our series of the week and do what we came on this podcast to do, talk about some college hockey. So let's get into it with our series of the week.
The best teams, the best matchup. Get your predictions ready. It's the series of the week.
Boys, last week, Denver, we had them taking on Omaha. And Denver swept, so me and Mark, or Mark and I, we gained 2 points there. Keller went 1-1. Keller is now in the basement. So, Mark, you're in front. You're 20-8. I'm 18-10. Keller is 17-11. Mark, you're going first. We have number 9, North Dakota, taking on number 4, Western Michigan, in at Kalamazoo Friday and Saturday. Who you going with?
All right, I got UND night 1 and Western night 2. I know Western's kind of my squad this year. I've kind of hopped on. Sorry, Sparty, but it just had to be done. But
Ben
normally,
Holden is shaking.
Yeah, I understand. Now, I was really thinking about a sweep here, but I don't think there is a chance in hell that that's a stretch. But I think UND's got a fucking real good shot to win that first game because per Twitter, fucking Gage Osmus and the fellas are going to be in the barn this weekend in front of the Lawson Lunatics. So I don't know if the boys are going to fucking get wind of that. Did some alums in the crowd or something? There's no way they get swept with alumni in the crowd. Just no shot. So yeah, I mean the power of the has-beens, fucking getting at least one, getting that Friday night game, and then Western's too good to get swept in my opinion. So. Give me Western night too.
Talking about those boys, Trevor Olson, this guy was everywhere in Orlando. This guy was dropping ceremonial fucking pucks. Like this guy, I mean, is this the classiest organization in the coast? The Orlando Solar Bears, they have a bunch of alumni down there. This guy's in one. I mean, they fucking come on out, raise your hand in the crowd. Like, let's go.
They
like
love him.
Why'd he hang him up? Could have been a Coast All-Star. Just a lifer. Just fuck it. I'm a Solar Bear for life.
I'm a Solar Bear.
Yeah, what was that Twitter exchange between them two and the old UND fan?
And while we're discussing this, Devin Levi has 9 shutouts on the year now. Northeastern 4 cop over Vermont. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Kid's pretty good.
Gage Osmus says, I wish you guys could see the night Trevor Olson is having right now. I cannot wait to bring this up. Jackson Keene giving me inside info. Hashtag Orlando. Christine Clevin, I need to know this. Dying of curiosity. Gage, he's in Orlando with his former team getting a A-list treatment. Christine, I don't know what that means. Loser old person here. UND class of 97. Trevor quotes it. Christine, just means I'm back in Orlando. Couldn't be happier. They treat me like a champion, and that's why I loved playing for them.
What a classy guy.
Oh, my God. You know you hit up Saddle Up, too.
100%, 100%. Here's the thing. Love the guy. I don't know if he's going to have 2 good weekends in a row with his former teams. I'm going Western Michigan sweep. I fucking hate to say it. It's my alum that I'm sewering right now, but Western Michigan... They're playing really good hockey. I like them. North Dakota, I don't know what the hell's going on right there, but I think Western Michigan gets the sweep. And then next week we talk about it. What's going on with UND? And then I go up there and fucking turn things around at the end of the month. And then that's when the real season starts for the fighting. Anyways,
you're going to make an canceled. Appearance at the St. Cloud game?
Fuck yeah, I am. Got tickets so on decent. Saturday. Oh, yeah. We're going to be everywhere.
Keller, do we smell the rumble?
No. The WWE Royal Rumble is absolutely more important. That's where I'll be at the Dome. The Dome will be absolutely going up in flames that night. The city. So backstory here. You know, the Rams left. You probably know this by now. I'm not breaking any news. The city's on the hook. The city's on the hook for the money for this fucking dome because of Stan Kroenke. Here we go. I think we just blow the fucking dome up with a Royal Rumble. I'll go down. I'll die at the Royal Rumble. I fucking will.
I'll do
it. Put on a show. Okay. I've never been to a WWE event in my life. Was an absolute diehard growing up. Haven't watched in like 10 years, but it's here. The Royal Rumble. This is like right behind WrestleMania in terms of main events or in terms of pay-per-views. So that's the easy solution.
You see, just put Twitter on a clips.
Show. Just put on a show. I guess you could let us get out and then just blow it up and say it was a malfunction. That's what I would do.
Keller might not be on the podcast anymore.
Yeah, I've just,
got a couple weeks left.
The Royal Rumble, you like, clips get to Twitter and everything. Other WWE events, usually you don't see much, but ESPN might throw one out or two because of the Royal Rumble. You never know.
You gotta love that.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Someone's coming back. Every Royal Rumble, somebody who hasn't wrestled in a while comes back in the Royal Rumble. If you don't know what the Royal Rumble is, 30-man elimination. You got to put them over the ropes to get them out. And so, like, one by one, they come out throughout the match. And so, usually, like, I don't know, fucking guy 16 is just like, yo, fucking, I don't know who's back. Jeff Hardy is back. It won't be him because he just got released for, like, the 18th time in his career.
So, no Swanton bomb off the arch?
Yeah, the guy's a heroin problem. Yeah, I didn't really realize that until I turned like 14 either, because he would always get in like a car accident or, you know, this or that. And little did I know, we were just covering up an underlying issue, of course. And I'm not trying to make fun of that, but, you know, they just don't really tell you what's going on with those guys. Anyways,
so he got winning these hockey games.
You know, I'm actually going the opposite of you, Mark. I don't think this will be a sweep either. I think North Dakota has to win one of these games to be quite Ethan Frank. And I think here's why. Because they're coming off the 2 to Cornell in their home barn. A big opponent here, big conference game here. This has a lot of implications for the Penrose Cup later on. They've not played yet this year, as we've already touched on. They have a series with them later on at the Ralph in the season. But I also think, like you said, Western's too good to get swept. So the Zoo's going to be buzzing both nights. I think they take care of business Friday and they win Saturday. And actually, I think the game Western loses is going to be an overtime. To preserve my headline, they come out of the weekend with more points than North Dakota and continue to gain ground on them in the NCHC.
All right. That was probably the longest series of the week we've ever had.
Absolutely.
It's also the best. Maybe. Depends on if you like Pokemon and wrestling. Both things which are fake.
That is fucking bullshit.
There. I was going to say, fuck, where's the rise? I was waiting for it.
There are some people that think it's still real.
It's fake until you go look up Undertaker throwing Mankind off the top of a fucking 20-foot tall steel cage. And the guy waving the medical staff off and he continues, dumps tacks onto the mat in the ring. The match continues. This guy should be in the hospital a long fucking time ago. Dumps a whole bunch of look this up. This is unbelievable. The tacks are everywhere in the ring, and he gets fucking chokeslammed onto these tacks, and they're just everywhere in him. Yeah, it's fake. I get it. The ending is fixed, but the pain is fucking real.
Oh, man.
I mean, you got to be some sort of fucked up to be in the WWE.
Yeah, clearly.
They don't do it. It's not the times were better back in the day. It's now rated PG, I think.
That stinks.
That does stink.
We're having production meetings if we can say the word damn properly. If I got to guess. I mean, come on. Just let her fly. Shut up, bitch. That was like back in the day. Let's go.
You can't say that anymore?
I fucking seriously doubt that. That was Dwayne The Rock Johnson. That guy brought the heat. Nobody brings the heat anymore. I don't even know who's in the WWE anymore. Like, who the studs are. I mean, I do, but like, it just wasn't like it used to be. There's none of those guys anymore.
Hmm. All right. Well, I think that'll do it for the podcast this week. The 200-foot game WrestleMania podcast. Mark, when can you listen to us?
You can listen to us on Wednesdays. Mark, we're getting back to consistency here. That's our goal. Apple Podcast, Spotify, same place. You know, shooting for same time, trying for same time. Yeah, platforms never change. We're wrapped.
Galler, any final words before we get out of here?
Yes, Marsh. Well, and Marky, I apologize for the dog shit fucking childhood you guys had by not just ingratiating yourself into world wrestling entertainment. I really feel bad for you. This is kind of disgusting. I'm ready to blow the dome up. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Bye.
Take you away.